The second question, we'll start with Ms. Lynch, and you touched on this earlier, so you can elaborate. Housing costs in Kodiak are some of the highest in the state, due partly because of land availability for development. So if elected, what will you do to help solve this housing land issue?
I have thought about this issue a little bit more, and years ago, all we needed to do was ask the state of Alaska to open up land. So I'm suggesting we do that as one of our tools in our toolbox. Ask the state to open up some of the land that's close to the community. The borough also needs to open a large parcel of land. We have several lots that are available within the city limits, within the Bells Flats, Menashka Bay area, but what we really need is to have a large parcel of land. More land equals more homes, equals a larger tax base, as I already have said. We need to develop that and make that development so that individuals can buy land to build small homes on. Homeowners in starter homes would be able to upgrade. New home buyers would be able to move into starter homes. But the biggest thing is that we need to make staff have the land sale as a number one priority. So we recently have a resource manager rehired, have filled that position. That will be our key in keeping him on task and opening up some larger parcels.
Thank you, Ms. Lynch. Stevens, the same question. Housing costs in Kodiak are some of the highest in the state, due in part to lack of land availability for development. If elected, what will you do to solve the housing land issue?
Yes, I'm not sure there's an awful lot that the borough really can do or perhaps should do in this particular area. We have already a financially overstretched borough, so getting more and more into housing is something that is going to cost more money, and I'm not sure it's central to the borough's purpose. That being said, of course, making borough land available is something that you would do, but realistically, if you sit down with a map, there is not a huge amount of borough land on the road system and convenient to easy development. What there is, let's go ahead and do that. We need to encourage native corporations, which do own some of the land, to help them or at least not stand in their way if they want to put that on sale and get that developed. All right, we need to make sure that our permitting and subdivision procedures encourage rather than stand in the way of some developments, and we frankly need to think about what we are doing all the time. Just last Thursday, I was asking the borough assembly, look, why are you rushing willy-nilly to impose a conservation easement on over 1,000 acres of native land on Termination Point, while at the same time you're saying, oh my goodness, we need more land for housing and one thing or another? Which doesn't mean that the conservation easement is bad. It does mean let's stop and think these things through. That's about all I would say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Mr. Strong, same question for you, sir. Housing costs in Kodiak are some of the highest in the state, due in part to lack of land availability for development. If elected, what will you do to solve the housing land issue?
Thank you. I have a plan and a vision for affordable housing in Kodiak, and includes selling borough land by using an existing ordinance that's already on the books to invite proposals to purchase land that benefits the community. The borough historically has been selling land at auction to the highest bidder. This practice excludes the majority of people from the process. In my opinion, Kodiak does not need more landlords. We need more regular folks and families owning land. More individuals and families owning and building their own homes encourages prosperity in the community as a whole, as opposed to all the opportunities and prosperity going to the highest bidder. There's a community development corporation here in Alaska, and what they do is they help moderate and low-income families qualify for a housing loan. And then that family helps build their own house, spends 30 hours per week building their house, and they spend time helping to build their neighbor's house in a subdivision. These homes are 1,700 square feet, three bedroom, two bath, two car garage, five-star energy homes, and there's families on the mainland on these subdivisions moving into their homes with a house payment of about $750 a month, and because they're putting in sweat equity, they're getting $30,000 and up to $60,000 of equity as they move into their home. We can partner with that organization. I've talked to them. They're interested in doing a project in Kodiak, and as a borough, that's something we can do. And I'm not talking about giving away land. I'm talking about selling it, and I'm not necessarily for subsidized housing. I'm for affordable home ownership. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Strong. Mr. Simmons, same question for you, sir. Housing costs in Kodiak are some of the highest in the state, due in part to lack of land availability for development. If elected, what will you do to help solve this housing land issue?
Thank you, Lindsay. In my perspective, affordable housing begins with affordable land. The borough must work with borough landholders to make available land for individuals' purchase. This process must begin with a thorough review and perhaps revision of the borough ordinances that make it difficult to identify, transfer, and develop land for the use by individuals and families. The process has already been started, in my perspective, by the formation of a lands committee. This committee will include representatives from Native corporations, planning and zoning, borough mayor, the appointed assembly member representatives, city representatives, citizens, and other appointed voting and non-voting members. These interested partners are charged with the task to cut through the bureaucracy that adds months and years to the land development process. The goal is to free up land held by borough, city, and other landholders for residential use. This process will include thorough evaluations of the economic, governmental, and legal barriers that inhabit land development while evaluating incentives to encourage private land development. This is a heavy responsibility indeed. At first opportunity, it's a challenge. It's not a quick and simple answer, but it's a vision. Thanks.
Mr. Simmons, thank you. Mr. Crow, same question for you, sir. Housing costs in Kodiak are some of the highest in the state, due in part to lack of land availability for development. If elected, what will you do to help solve this housing land issue?
Well, as you stated, the high cost of housing is in part due to high cost of lands. There are some other factors that can be looked at as well. Concerning the land issue, there is the Lands Committee, and I think this isn't unique to Kodiak, by the way. This is occurring everywhere, and you're hearing about it more and more. More and more communities are getting into resolving the problem. And so there are resources out there that are being looked at, and one of those is with the building and zoning codes, and I've been sitting on the Planning and Zoning Commission for the last four months maybe, to restructure some of the codes and relax them a little bit, make them a little more flexible, and look for some creative solutions, such as planned unit developments and relaxing the mobile home and RV parks and others. We're looking at the small home movement, and allowing those, because right now the codes prevent, they have to be a certain size for building codes and things like that. There's no reason for that. There's high construction costs due to the high cost of living here, and limited competition for building materials and trades. There's high property taxes that raise the housing cost for rents. And then there is, again, the issue that we're speaking to is the availability of low-cost lands. And the Lands Committee is looking into this and considering all lands, and not just borough lands, including federal lands that might be divested for public ownership, native lands that are being divested right now. I've been hearing through the grapevine that there might be some pretty large plots available for residential development, and that's going to certainly take a little bit of the pressure off. And then, of course, there may be, at some point, the borough lands, after we take a look at every other option. And then I think part of the problem was exaggerated recently during the past few years by this huge construction boom that we've had. We've brought in a lot of trades workers and professionals in the building industry, and that's caused a huge cost in our living and apartment rents and things like that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crow. Starting the third question, Mr. Stevens, you'll be leading us off. May 1st eviction deadline for the people living in Jackson's trailer court is rapidly approaching. What will you do as an assembly member to further ease the transition of those about to lose their homes?
I believe the borough assembly and then the borough has already done most of the things that that can be done in that particular area. They either have or have started looking at loosening up some of the code provisions which restrict where mobile homes can be located, so that that people can move a little more easily there. They have tried to remove some of the restrictions to expanding existing mobile home parks. So it seems to me that this issue has already been forcefully presented to the borough assembly, and that the assembly and the borough staff have been, from what I can tell, about as responsive as they actually can be to this. If you are asking whether I think we should get into financial grants or things like that, I do not. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Mrs. Strong, same question for you, sir. The May 1st eviction deadline for the people living in Jackson's trailer court is rapidly approaching. What will you do as an assembly member to further ease the transition of those about to lose their homes?
Great question. So I'm a visionary. I'm a planner, but I'm also a big thinker. So what I could do, and I would encourage the borough assembly to do, is have a holiday on planning and zoning, and let citizens, let property owners, let the community try to find a solution here, a creative solution. I mean, here in Kodiak, we have amazing resources and talent. We've been building our own homes and dwellings for thousands of years here in Kodiak. And I think that the people that live in Jackson's, they have the intelligence and the drive and the know-how to help solve this problem, along with other community members here. So in this situation, I think if we got out of the way as a regulatory government and planning and zoning holiday, some of these solutions might just come to fruition. So that's what I would do.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Strong. Mr. Simmons, same question for you, sir. The May 1st eviction deadline for the people living in Jackson's trailer court is rapidly approaching. What will you do as an assembly member to further ease the transition of those soon to lose their homes?
In the short time that I've been on the assembly, I've done just that. And and to back up a little bit, as part of being on the assembly, it's almost required to partake and even just come and listen to a lot of the different meetings. I very recently did just that. I didn't intentionally come to a P&Z meeting, but I was headed to the library and realized that there was one going on. And it was really good to sit and watch. I won't say a super refined group of people, but people that know how to work together. We have several of those committees here. You get some really strong independents together. When they are on the same page, things come out of it. And like Mr. Stevens says, it is a fact that what I've seen so far, what I've experienced so far, what I've witnessed, it's happening. And I commended P&Z that evening in doing just that. There's nothing like having an ignorant person come up and say, more and more has got to be done from our local government. You know what? Our local government has been an outstanding and unparalleled job on the response of what's going on at Jackson's. And I have to say, I'm really grateful that in the borough chambers and in this room, I have yet to hear somebody lash out and attack the people who are developing that. That place has been for sale for a long time. It was inevitable. It was going to happen. And I would be defending, capitalism has some serious rules that I've seen get infringed. I'm sure we're going to touch on those things a little bit tonight. That government meddling in some of these rules, it can be very destructive. And I'll say it again, not to sound like a hypocrite, but our P&Z has done an unbelievable job on the subject. Thank you.
Mr. Simmons, thank you. Mr. Crow, same question for you, sir. The May 1st eviction deadline for people living in Jackson's trailer court is rapidly approaching. What will you do as an assembly member to further ease the transition of those too soon to lose their homes?
Yeah, I'd like to mirror the comments that have been made. The borough assembly and the Planning and Zoning Commission and the planning staff, department staff, have been working very, very, very hard to resolve the problems and buffer the problem and make the landing a little bit softer. We've been reducing and relaxing the codes for the existing mobile home park so we can get some of the displaced mobile homes into those. We've relaxed the mobile home codes themselves so that the mobile home code parks themselves for the codes that allow anybody to make it a little bit easier for them to develop a park. And we're working on the RV park codes now. The government can't solve all problems, and it really is a very unfortunate and very sad problem that occurred. And it really is going to have an impact on this community, the fact that downtown, the big brown apartment complex was just recently shut down in the last year or so to make way for a bunkhouse for Trident Seafoods, and then to have Jackson's closed down too, so closely on the heels of that, is almost. I said at one time, I kind of the analogy would be like being hit by a tidal wave. That kind of displacement. It's a bit of a catastrophe for this community and the people that are having a hard time with housing. So I think certainly open to any suggestions and not taking anything off the table to helping in any way we can. There are certain limitations on what the government can and can't do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crow. Ms. Lynch, same question for you. The May 1st eviction deadline for the people living in Jackson's trailer court is rapidly approaching. What will you do as an assembly member to further ease the transition of those soon to lose their homes?
I fully supported the code revisions that the Borough Assembly has recently adopted. Not only have we had code revisions, we've also reduced fees to ease the pain, for lack of a better term. The next step in this process to me is that we need to have some sort of information data bank. I know that staff has been collecting resources that people can use. I'd like to encourage people to now use those resources. Don't be afraid to come to the planning department and ask questions at that staff level so that you can help find land solutions. I would also encourage further development now that the codes have been relaxed for the other mobile home parks. We have one mobile home park owner that is taking advantage of that. There's no reason why other owners can't. And I think if we could find a place to put all of these displaced people or as many as possible by those relaxations of the code, that will help the displaced people the best.
Thank you, Ms. Lynch.